At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everyone and welcome back to More Knowing Wheel, episode 90. Episode 90. Wow. We're almost there for 2022. And yeah, it's been quite a ride over the course of the year. But as always, I'm joined by British Mattia Bonotto. How are we doing, mate?
I've never had that before, but I'm doing well. Yeah, unlike Mattia Bonotto, I do have a job though. So... Yeah, there's some similarities, but I'm
technically
doing well.
Mattia Bonotto still has a job to a new year as well. Remember?
Oh yeah, true.
So you and Mattia Bonotto are still on the same level,
and
currently.
We're both clear of Cristiano Ronaldo, who doesn't have a job.
No, he doesn't, does he? That's a very, very good point. This is, of course, the World Cup podcast this week, where we talk about why England.
We sit in a corner and cry.
Exactly, yep. Love me some French-Brazilian referees. but yeah, of course, we're back once more. You know, it's a winter break. It's actually quite wintry this week. I'm sure like every other person that does a podcast in the UK, we have to, as we're British, we have to mention the fact that it has snowed.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least it has for me. I've had quite a bit of snow.
It's very
week.
Icy here. It's not quite snowed that much, but it's been really annoying to try and go anywhere because my car's always a ball of ice. I don't have a scraper.
It's a good job I stay here most of the time. It's reassuring. The life of a content creator. Ever since I went full-time, I haven't left the house. But yeah, of course, we're back though once more. This time around, you know, the last couple of weeks, we've looked back over the course of the 2022 F1 season. This time, we're looking towards the future, and we are going to be ranking the 10 teams in order of how strong we feel their driver lineups are for 2023. Now, of course, when Jamie and I, we sort of sit down, we try and plan ideas for a couple of podcasts. Often with things like this, I think we both go into it kind of worrying that we're going to have very, very different ideas. And then often, because we both know Wheel, we're not often that far away from each other, are we?
No, I'm pretty sure we'll there'll maybe be a few differences, but it'll be, for the most part, the same.
It'll be one or two away at most, I would have thought. But of course, yeah, if you're new around here as well, make sure you check out the links down below. Of course, everything's down there. Most important one, Spotify. Go and give us a follow over there. Only 38% of you that listen to the podcast on Spotify are following. So, you know, if you're listening to us, you know, if you're in the car, you're at home on Spotify, click that follow button if you haven't already. It would be greatly, greatly appreciated. But let's get into it though then, Jamie. Talk me through. Where are we going to start?
Do you think the worst lineup to begin with?
I feel like that's going to make things a bit complicated if we've got different worst teams.
True.
I've really put you on the spot here, haven't I?
Yeah, how about you just tell me who you think is the worst team?
Let's go alphabetical.
That's a better idea.
This has been a promising start to the day. Go on, Jamie, talk me through.
There's 4-8. Who's first?
Alfa Romeo.
Alfa Romeo, okay. Where did I put them? I put them 7th. In the out of 10.
Okay.
Which, yeah, I think you obviously got a good mix of youth and experience with Bottas and Joe. They're both solid drivers. I don't think either of them, will like win a championship ever, to be fair. Unfortunately, I think Bottas has had his shot and Joe probably doesn't have the potential. Very sadly, it pains me to say it.
Jamie, yeah. Going against his big man.
I mean, I'm realistic, but he's a good driver, but he's not like different gravy level.
Well, I've seen Granyu Zhou in action as a driver. You know, yeah. I've been there with him on the sim rigs, you know, practicing together. I also saw him at Silverstone. That race didn't quite go so well.
No.
But yeah, I mean, Alfa Romeo, though, of course, one of only four lineups going into the new season that remains unchanged. Which is kind of mad, isn't it, when you think about it? When we thought the silly season this year was going to be absolutely dead.
Yeah, and then Fernando Alonso dropped a bomb.
Yeah, or just a Instagram story of him with his thumbs up.
Yeah. But yeah, that should help them out, I think, this season. But yeah, I think the driver lineup, it's certainly solid. I think you've got a good pair of drivers there. And yeah, unfortunately, just the potential and the ceiling of both drivers, I think, limits them from going further up the order for me.
I think, yeah, we'll place him in at number 7 to begin with, and we'll sort of see how things go later on across the show. Alpine are next up, Jamie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Actually, no, they're not, technically.
Is it not?
AlphaTauri are next.
Yes, just. Sorry. We're also learning our alphabet this week, apparently.
Go back to Toro Rosso and Renault. That was so much easier.
It would make things a lot easier for us. AlphaTauri, then. Sorry, Jamie.
Yes.
The shortest lineup of 2023.
The shortest lineup by probably ever, potentially. I've, unfortunately for them, put them last, which may be a little harsh. But yeah, I don't get that much confidence in their lineup. I think Tsunoda is certainly okay. And De Vries is a pretty unknown quantity, but you kind of think he is probably solid, but not a lot more than that.
I don't know about De Vries. I think the problem is with AlphaTauri, isn't it? Is obviously we know Tsunoda can be quite good, but often has struggled to deliver still. You can't really sort of say De Vries might be really good, because if he's not, then we just like a bunch of mugs.
Would you put them above the ninth team, which I think you already guess?
I think it's difficult to tell, isn't it? Because I reckon De Vries will come out of the gate stronger than Logan Sargeant. I think Albon obviously is better than Yuki Tsunoda. But yeah. I also don't believe that De Vries or Sargeant, obviously because neither of them have... Well, obviously De Vries has done one Formula 1 Grand Prix. I don't think you can really argue either of them are better than each other. And that's kind of my logic to put them behind Williams.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Albon is probably the best of those four.
Yes. Absolutely. At the moment.
So that's kind of why I put Williams above AlphaTauri. And AlphaTauri fell in last, unfortunately, for them.
Yeah, I think AlphaTauri in last, which now I put them on the board. Unfortunately, you can barely see their logo anymore. but yeah, I'd think AlphaTauri, they've got a lineup that has got potential down the line. But we're just not quite convinced yet. But that's kind of what AlphaTauri is there for at the end of the day. You know, it's designed to be a risky team where you can chuck drivers in. If they swim, they swim. If they drown, you ship them off to Super Formula or something like that.
Yeah. And I reckon if you go back through the years, before each season, you probably have AlphaTauri/Toro Rosso at the bottom.
Or close to, yeah.
But it just sometimes you happen to have Max Verstappen and Carlos Sainz, which is a pretty good lineup, but they're both rookies. So.
It's mad to think about now, isn't it? But even then, going into 2015, I don't think anyone would have backed either of them to end up where they've ended up.
Not at all. But yeah, shall we move on to Alpine?
The all-French super team.
The French super team. We
don't like the French.
Struggle to talk
Jamie?
About the French right now.
They're going in 14th.
I slotted them just above Alfa Romeo.
Okay.
In what's that, sixth place?
Yeah.
I think they're quite comfortably ahead of Alfa. But yeah, I was close actually with the team in fifth with Alpine. Because, yeah, I mean, they're the team after this, so we could basically just talk about them now. But it was kind of like Aston Martin and Alpine. I think are very difficult to call because Aston obviously have Alonso that drags up the quality massively, but then Stroll drags it down quite a lot. Whereas Alpine, I think they're both solid, like they're both, but they're obviously nowhere near as good as Alonso or Ocon. Isn't that bad because he did beat him on points, to be fair to him. But
Alonso did also miss out on 483 points last year due to unreliability.
Exactly. He missed out on the championship because he drove for Alpine.
Yep. Because Aston Martin's going to fix everything.
So. Yeah, it's close between those two, but I put Alpine just below because basically my rule of thumb for the top of this list was like, can I see either or both drivers winning a championship?
And that's kind of the metric, isn't it, for some of our top teams here.
Yeah, so I kind of applied that here, and obviously Alonso has. I don't particularly see any of the other three winning one.
You know what? It wouldn't actually surprise... it would surprise me, to be honest, that Alpine could deliver a car that could win a world championship, but it wouldn't surprise me as much if Gasly or Ocon ended up in a situation where they had quite a dominant car for a season.
A bit like Jenson Button.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, bless him, we love JB. He was a very, very good driver, but he probably shouldn't have been a world champion, should he, in most years?
It's that kind of level driver, like him, like you, Mark Webbers, like arguably Perez and Hülkenberg are on that sort of level.
I wouldn't put Hülkenberg in that group, but okay.
I would.
No, I know you would. That's why, like, I'm trying to bring you back down to earth.
Any of those, the sort of second tier drivers that some of them just happen to win a world championship. A bit like Villeneuve, like Jacques Villeneuve, sorry. Not Gilles. But yeah, that kind of second level down drivers where some of them happen to be in a good car. That's kind of where we put Ocon and Gasly. Whereas Alonso is definitely the tier above.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Alonso is still right up there, isn't he? You know, he's sort of behind the top. You know, he's kind of.
He's probably in the top five.
He's in that top five, isn't he? He's sort of on the fringes of that top five. So you reckon Alpine in sixth, and therefore with that Aston Martin P5?
That's where I put. Yeah.
Is that
Do you agree with
saying?
That?
I think.
You probably think Aston should be at the bottom because you don't like Alonso. But
no, I'm trying to think. It's difficult, isn't it? Because it probably be, we'll get them all sort of laid out, and then we'll kind of just go back through it again, won't we? It's difficult to really tell, because I think comparing them up against Alfa Romeo, like Alpine versus Alfa Romeo, Bottas is the best driver out of that group still.
Probably, but I don't think by a lot.
Not by a huge amount, but Ocon and Gasly are both closer to Bottas than Zhou Guan Yu is to Ocon and Gasly.
Yeah.
So I think Alpine above them is fair. But, and then you're kind of in that weird position where Bottas is better. Sorry, Alonso is better than Bottas, sorry.
Yeah.
But Stroll is obviously better than Zhou Guan Yu. But again, it's not by a lot. And does
not
it outweigh Alpine? I think, just, you know what, just about. I'll allow it.
Those three, really, though.
Those three, can be quite close, can't they? Up next then, Jamie. Now, I feel like this one might be where we have some disputes. It's Haas.
Haas. Yes. I slotted them into the gap we have in eighth.
Okay.
Which might be... I'm pretty down, pretty unconfident on Haas.
Okay.
But I think it's hard to justify putting them higher, I think.
Is that because of the team or is that because of the drivers?
Well, slightly the drivers, and I hate to say it because obviously I'm a big Hulk fan, but
you're a fan of half the grid, mate. Just accept it.
True.
You're a fan of Alonso. You're a fan of Gasly. You're a fan of Max. You're a fan of Hulkenberg. He's just got all those hashtags in his Twitter bio.
Yeah, I actually do. That's the thing. I just think if you have them in eighth, I think both drivers are very, very, very solid. They'll be a safe pair of hands, but it's just hard to see either of them kicking on at this stage of their career. I think like you were saying, I think Bottas, if you compare the to Alfa Romeo, I think Bottas is the best of those four right now. But I think then Hulk and Magnussen fit in, but yeah, it's hard.
It's really difficult, isn't it?
It's really, really difficult
because you could argue really that they're kind of on a similar level to Alpine, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Would you say that Magnussen is any worse than Ocon or Hulk's any worse than Gasly?
Well, it's hard to tell, isn't it? Because Magnussen hasn't gone up against a proper teammate yet since he came back.
Well, he did in Grosjean.
Yeah. And then Hulk's obviously been out of a full-time seat for 3 years. So it's really hard to tell.
You really could put anywhere from 5th to 8th in pretty much any order, it feels like, at the moment, couldn't you?
If you wanted to.
Yeah, it's really, really difficult. I honestly thought you were going to say Haas 4th, to be honest.
Oh, no, no.
But then that kind of leaves us with McLaren, wondering where they're going to go in a second. So it is all getting very, very complicated, isn't it?
It is.
But we're going to put Haas 8th for now, then, are we? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Right, come on, then. I've just realised we've gone in the wrong order. It's Ferrari.
Oh, yes. The alphabet is going well. This is going to get some comments, but I have Ferrari in 4th.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to get some comments from me in that.
Okay, well,
talk me
I think
this.
We did this at the start of the year for 2022, and I'm pretty sure we both had Ferrari in 1st.
Yes, just because we didn't know how good George Russell could be.
Yeah. I think putting them, below Mercedes is definitely fair enough at this point. I would argue the off weight you get from Max versus both Ferrari drivers puts Red Bull above them. You probably
that's
with that.
Where we might disagree.
And I think Lando is as good as Charles, and Piastri can be as good as Carlos.
But so we're not basing on how good they can be. We're basing
I think Piastri could be. That's the thing. It's just a bit of a gamble.
But we're not. Basically, this is what we said about AlphaTauri. That's why they're in last.
The metric I put of can I see either slash both drivers winning a championship, I think I can see McLaren having both drivers be champions in the future. I can't see Ferrari having both drivers be champions in the future.
Well, let's be fair, I can't see Ferrari's being champions in the future.
No,
but
true.
Apart from that, I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I feel like it's difficult, isn't it? Because, again, if you'd asked us, Sainz's stock has dropped so much this year. It has really not been a good year for him. But I'd say Leclerc is just below Verstappen. Just below. Had a couple of mistakes this year, but I feel like we also don't give him enough credit on occasion as well. Mm. A lot of pole positions in a Ferrari car that, yes, was a lot closer to the Red Bull over one lap, but I do genuinely believe Charles Leclerc is up there as quite possibly one of the best qualifiers of all time.
Yeah.
And going into the year, we did feel Sainz was better than Perez, but Perez didn't have a particularly amazing year either. And that's kind of the balance there between Ferrari and Red Bull, isn't it? You could put them pretty close together.
Yeah,
I
definitely
feel like at the moment.
Yeah, I would struggle to put Red Bull below Ferrari. Just because
I would struggle because basically what you're suggesting there is McLaren would have to go into P2
or just P4. Yeah,
and this is where I'm struggling. Like I think we're kind of getting to the point now, aren't we? Where we're kind of just putting multiple teams in one go.
Yeah.
But I can't justify putting McLaren between Ferrari and Red Bull, but I also can't justify putting them above Ferrari or Red Bull either.
So below fourth for McLaren?
I feel like McLaren have got to go fourth at the moment. But
yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm happy to concede Ferrari P3, Red Bull P2.
Yeah, I think that's good because I struggle. I think if I was to rank though the Ferrari Red Bull drivers, it would be Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez, Sainz for me.
At the
I think
moment,
Sainz and Perez are very close.
Yes, yeah. And Max and Charles are pretty close as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair argument we're having at the moment.
I don't actually know where I'd put Norris in that. Probably just behind Leclerc in third of that six.
Ooh, that's a very good question, isn't it? I mean, we need to do ranking the 20 drivers, don't we, at some point?
Yeah. No, we basically did that.
That'll get complicated.
Oh, we effectively did that for the 2022 season, didn't we?
We did, to be fair. Oh, yeah, that is difficult, isn't it? I'm trying to think. Yeah. Because this is the thing, isn't it? Like, Leclerc, Lando and Max, I do genuinely believe, can all beat each other on their day. Obviously, Leclerc and Max have proven that against each other. Lando still hasn't really had a chance to do so. But then he did it with Leclerc in 2021.
Yeah, he did.
It is difficult, isn't it, between those three? And I think this is kind of the thing, you know, a lot of people get worried about Verstappen dominance in the sport, but there is certainly three drivers, four drivers even, obviously one of them is going to be retiring fairly soon, but three drivers that are going to be here in the long run that can certainly match him.
Hold a candle to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
It is very hard to call, though. And I feel bad for Piastri, because him being a rookie, I mean, we do this in a year's time, where Piastri's matched Lando all season.
And all been close to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly you'll probably put McLaren second.
Exactly. Let's go on then, Jamie. Down to Mercedes. Of course, they were kind of the team that we said going into 2022, wasn't it? That could have the strongest lineup. But of course, that was all dependent on how well George Russell performed. And, well, he finished ahead of Lewis Hamilton. Well, you know, we've sort of said they had pretty similar years if you're ranking it across the board. So I don't think we can't really argue. They've got the best lineup, haven't they, going into the next year?
Yeah. Like, I think when you're considering, like we said at the start or halfway through, like, can you see both slash either driver being a champion? Obviously, Hamilton already is multiple. And Russell is nailed on to be one.
Surely.
I think that's what separates them from any other team, potentially, other than McLaren. I guess Piastri is an unknown quantity. But
yeah.
Every other team...
I mean, if Sainz had another good year like 2021.
But I think 2020, looking back in hindsight, Leclerc did get horrendously unlucky.
Oh, Leclerc was very unlucky, but Sainz was also delivering against him.
Sainz was very
more.
Solid, yeah.
I think what you just tend to find, isn't it, is when a team's fighting for a world championship, one driver kind of has to get put to the side slightly.
And I think Sainz did that to himself with a few mistakes.
Early enough in the year.
And like Leclerc, when he has a capable car, does just hit another level, I think. And he doesn't particularly like driving in the midfield very much.
No.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, Mercedes, it's hard to for anyone really to argue that, yeah, Mercedes don't have the best lineup.
You've effectively got one of, if not the greatest Formula One driver of all time, and someone that can very nearly match him. Like, yeah. You're basically talking about having Hamilton and not quite Hamilton and Schumacher in the team, but close levels. Yeah,
but you know what I mean. Like, even if
but what I mean is, like, even if you say Schumacher's better than Lewis, like, George is fairly close to, or he was this year. I'm sure, yeah. Obviously, when Mercedes give Hamilton a car that can fight for a championship again, you know, he will probably, you know, just pull away a bit from George. Yeah. But I think George is quite often slept on by a lot of people, mainly because he got involved in a couple of incidents towards the end of the year, but was mighty consistent and mighty fast throughout a lot of the season. Exactly. And that leaves us then, Jamie, with Williams slotting into P9.
Yeah. And I think that's about right. Obviously,
I think that's fair.
I think Sargent is probably coming to F1 a year too early, personally.
Difficult, isn't it? Because it's really difficult to tell whether he's going to end up being a bit like a Yuki, who now you'd argue, was he ever really Formula One? Because, I mean, he basically has... Logan Sargeant is basically doing a Yuki Tsunoda, isn't he? Really strong F2 rookie season, comes third, and then gets a Formula One gig.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I've just got a sneeze on the way, but I think it's going. We're all good. Yeah, it's difficult for Logan because you kind of feel like Williams were pretty safely going to have Piastri, as was the plan before Alonso just uprooted and left Alpine. So they didn't really, like, it was kind of like free falling and they were panicking, like, yeah, let's just give it Logan if he gets the super license points.
But I mean, they had other options. They could have gone with a Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
I think the problem is for Logan Sargeant, isn't it? Is really because of lack of budget after his first F3 campaign, he should have probably spent 2 years in F2. He just shouldn't have done the second year in F3, is kind of the issue, isn't it?
Did he do a second? So he was F3.
He did two seasons in F3.
I know in his rookie season, he was.
He gave Piastri a good run for his money. Yeah, exactly. He didn't have the money to go into F2 for 2021, so I'm pretty certain in another F3 campaign.
I thought he'd still a year out.
Let me just double check. You keep talking quickly.
Yeah, so, I mean, in F3, he was fairly close to Piastri and Porsche, I believe, was the other driver in that. So, he's clearly quick, but in the F2 season, was kind of, obviously, the kind of structure of F2 made it be really difficult to gather consistency because of the gaps between races, but it was very much, he was good in fits and whatever the saying is. He wasn't like super consistent. If you compare,
I just realised as well, obviously, that I'm taking away the tier list because I'm too busy researching Logan Sargeant quickly.
Yeah, apologies to our YouTube viewers, but this is why you go on Spotify.
Exactly, exactly. Logan Sargeant did compete in F3 2021. He came seventh, I think it was, with Cheruse.
Oh, that's a shame. He couldn't buy a capable team with the money he had. Clearly.
Exactly.
But yeah, he'll be quick, but I think he'll struggle for consistency.
I think this is the thing, isn't it? He's lucky that he's going into a team like Williams, because, let's be fair, they'll probably give him two seasons, unless they've got another junior that is absolutely mega, or Mercedes or Alpine or someone else wants to try and get someone a gig and then willing just to give him a lot of money. But it really is the question, isn't it, of course, of when do Williams start focusing on themselves rather than just helping other teams?
Yeah, true. And they kind of have been giving their seat to the highest bidder for the past few years.
That's all they've been able to. But Williams, you know, they're making a turnaround at the moment. You know, they're getting more and more investment in. I think, you know, it's really time where, you know, Williams start going, actually, you know what, boys, we're our own team still. We can kind of do what we want and try to foster our own talent.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just looking at the Williams junior team. There isn't really that much going on. You've got Roy Nassani, Zach O'Sullivan.
Oh, great.
Jamie Chadwick's there, but I don't think she'll ever get F1, unfortunately.
No, sadly not.
But yeah, so in terms of his seat, I mean, they gave Latifi 3 years, so Logan's got to get at least two.
Yeah, exactly.
And it will be quite a safe place to make your debut. I'd certainly rather be at Williams than AlphaTauri to make your debut.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think it's. I think feel I'd fairly comfortable either or.
I'd hate working under Franz Tost because he can't celebrate Christmas, apparently.
Well, yeah, that's also very true. Very, very true. So there we go, then. I mean, we've kind of got all the teams slotted in now, haven't we? We've got, for those of you on Spotify, we've got Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Aston Martin, Alpine, Alfa Romeo, Haas, Williams, AlphaTauri. Find it very interesting as well just how many of those are very, very close to the where they finished in 2022.
Yeah, I guess it kind of slightly, obviously, you kind of judge drivers based on where they finished, which depends a lot on the car, but also the best drivers do end up in the best cars generally.
Exactly.
Bar a few exceptions like Alonso, who just burns all the bridges he can.
He ended up on a lot of good cars for a lot of years. He just lost to a rookie.
Drew with a rookie.
Well, he came behind him in the standings, mate. Got to get me Alonso pokes in there somewhere.
Yeah. Would you make any changes to that?
I'm just trying to think. It's so difficult, isn't it? Because you can really make a fair argument for anyone from fifth down to eighth against each other.
Yeah.
I'm wondering now whether and McLaren need to get shifted down, though.
Behind Alonso?
Well, I'm trying to think. Like, would we say Alonso is worse than Lando Norris?
I think I would just take Alonso right now.
But Stroll ahead of Piastri?
We've kind of gone with the
unproven thing until we got to Piastri, and we're kind of just expecting him to be good. And McLaren, let's be fair, over the last few years, have not had good runs with rookies. Lando was a good one, but Stoffel Vandoorne before him, Kevin Magnussen.
I just think if Piastri doesn't live up to expectations of what people think he will do, I still think he'd be better than Stroll.
Very true.
If Piastri flops, he's probably just being okay rather than being top.
And it's just Lando is wildly underappreciated still in the sport. Yeah, I think that's fair at the moment. It's just difficult to judge, isn't it? Because I think Piastri's done a fantastic job of building up a lot of hype around himself.
Even with the year out. Yeah.
I think we've done all right there, for the most part.
Let us know what you think, how wrong we are, and how British we are, putting Mercedes first instead of Red
Bull. Exactly, with an all-British lineup. Yeah, exactly. Anything else, though, Jamie, that we reckon might need some subtle tweaks? I think we're looking pretty good there.
I'm happy.
I think we've done pretty well there, for the most part. Anything else to add, though, Jamie? Have we had anything come up since we started the show? Formula1.com hasn't put out anything wild.
F1.com.
Have a look for me.
No, doesn't look like it. Just there's an analysis on what Mick Schumacher can do next.
LMDH is what he'll do next with Ferrari. We're kind of just in the quiet point.
Liam Lawson's gone to Super Formula. That's fun.
Yes, that's what we were going to.
He'll turn up at AlphaTauri and raise them above Williams.
Yes,
through the season.
Yeah, do we reckon he'll end up at AlphaTauri?
He could. I think if he does well in Super Formula and one of the drivers doesn't perform,
I do wonder whether we might see a bit of a shift next year if he's doing well to AlphaTauri desperately trying to get Tsunoda out. I feel like they're just going to hang De Vries around for a bit. It'll be like, when was it, 2012? No, 2013, wasn't it? Where Jean-Éric Vergne was better than... Was he better than Ricciardo or better than someone? Or 2014?
He was pretty similar to Ricciardo. 2014
was when he was better than Kvyat, and then Kvyat still got the call up.
Just because they'd already announced Vergne was leaving, and then Vettel left Red Bull.
Yes.
Otherwise, Vergne definitely would have been in the Red Bull and probably beaten Ricciardo again.
Oh, I think Ricciardo kind of got into his mojo by then. What a rabbit hole to go down to.
Nah, Kvyat beat Ricciardo in 2015.
Did he?
Yeah, on points.
Did he? Are you sure?
How many times did
Ricciardo get screwed?
A lot. Well, the Red Bull was trash, wasn't it, that year?
It was, yeah. They lost to Williams. It kind of says it all.
Yeah.
That's mad to think about, isn't it? Because 2015 was a bizarre year for Red Bull because they had neither Seb or Verstappen.
Yeah, it was the gap year. But Kvyat beat Ricciardo by 3 points.
Ah, fair enough. Not
so Vergne definitely would have done.
Fair enough. Exactly. I think we've kind of gone through everything we needed to, haven't we, Jamie?
We have.
It's the winter break. We've kind of, you know, we're still just vibing, everything like that. We might go into some more news stories. We might do a bit of a news roundup at some point in the new year. But thank you all, as always, so much for watching slash listening. Let me know down in the comments below how badly wrong we got this week's tier list. And yeah, we will return very, very soon with more Knowing Wheel.